Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Your Battle to Win. This week we're talking about winning your case in Heaven's Court. So if this is the first time that you are listening to our show, we talk about the spiritual battle and how to grow in maturity to be able to, I guess, fight in the spiritual realm. And for those of you that are familiar with fighting in the spiritual realm, how to have, I guess, extra ammo.
You know, but, and for those, we have, I'm sure, mixed listeners in terms of the word fight and what that means to different people. So fighting doesn't mean the kind of fist fights or the ammo, guns, and hard material that kills people. At all, but some people. I mean, I think I fall in that category. Really, don't like the idea of fighting and hurting people and battling and, you know, just that whole thing. Would like to live a quiet and peaceful life is one of the scriptures. So, but we actually do this kind of battling in a completely opposite way than the world's way. Everything in the kingdom of heaven or of God, of light, is completely opposite. So we're going to be covering those types of things in the future. Today's focus is really about winning our cases in the courtroom. And again, you know, court in our culture can produce a lot of stress because it's not necessarily done righteously. So, you know, those are the and there's not necessarily justice we can count on. But something very different about what we're doing here is we're going to talk about Heaven's Court and what the difference is looking at a righteous judge going into a courtroom with a righteous, completely foolproof righteous judge versus what we know in this world, in this world of darkness. So you want to say some things, Jer? Take it to the next step.
Well.
Oh, you want me to?
Let's just dive right in.
Okay.
Let's dive right in, shall we? My mom's got a collection of notes this week. So it looks like this is going to have a lot of depth to it.
I actually wasn't going to use the notes, but yeah.
Oh, it was a sweet time.
They were like normal, kind of make it a little, hopefully, spontaneous, impromptu, you know, get calls in. People are welcome to call in. We've been talking a lot about the different battles and different ways to win the battle, different components. And this one may be the most important. But it takes probably maybe, I'd say, the most knowledge, most maturity, you know, some spiritual insight. Not that you have to have all those things to do it, but for me at least, to get to this place, to understand it quickly, to want to work, operate in it, to, like, all the light bulbs going on, But then it's the thing that's fascinating is that As we operate more and more in the kingdom of light and we understand it better, which we'll also be discussing a little and increasingly show to show, because I want to present how everything in the kingdom of heaven is quite organized, way more organized than things are in our natural realm, especially in the worldly realm.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't necessarily see it unless we're trained with it or we understand or we're actually functioning in it. So, you know, but that will continue to build that case, right? Because life is all about building cases. You know, I'm realizing that really every aspect, parenting, I did notice this when you were young, is realize that I was always presenting a case to you. I was the better I could present it was my thought.
The
more
better
evidence.
Your chances of winning them.
Yeah, right. More evidence I could give you.
That's why I think the way I do, though. When I'm having an idea, I'm presenting a case.
Right, to yourself, right?
Well, to everybody.
And to yourself, though, first.
Yeah. Well, I'm always wrestling and being like, well, okay, does it look like this? Is this an advantage here or a disadvantage there? Why not? You know, before I even open my mouth.
But what I see I could have done better is helped you to actually itemize you know, to be able to understand how to present it to yourself, because I never brought it into yourself as a person presenting a case to yourself, or me presenting a case to myself, until really doing my homework.
So what does that mean?
What does that mean? That comes from a play that we watch. What does that mean? So, and that was about Jesus. It was about the idea that he would talk in parables and you'd have to figure out what he meant by it. And that's all of this. You know, the advancing of the kingdom of heaven requires people who want to know what does that mean. And so what it means in terms of presenting a case to yourself is whenever you go to buy something, whenever you choose what you're going to eat, whatever you're going to do, you present a quick case to yourself. You know, the better and more skilled you are at actually presenting the case to yourself on your choices, where you're going to go that evening, you know, what class you're going to take, you know, bigger decisions, who you're going to marry. You present cases to yourself about whether this person is somebody, you know, you present the case. Just to yourself first.
Well, yeah, and if you don't, if you can't organize a case, then how that is just a reflection of your thinking. How well organized your case is, how organized your thinking, and how far you're willing to go with your detail. Same thing with a regular court case. You know, usually the way it should work too is those are the most truth or solid foundation or items that support their case. Support the case wins. Well, I mean, obviously the first one is truth, because if it's a fallacy, then it's been in court, it shouldn't hold any water at all. But
okay, so if Jesus is our righteous judge,
which he is.
Well, yeah, but I'm just, I don't know, I said that, I'm presenting a case. Does he need you to present the case for him? Or what's the purpose of you having to present your case before him?
Well, isn't it for yourself and or whoever you're presenting on their behalf?
Right, but why doesn't he just, like, go, oh my goodness, Jared needs this. I'm going to just do this for him.
Because he wants us to ask. He wants us to knock. He wants to be engaged with us, because if he already knew it and did it, we would have no need to talk to him.
Okay.
So it's just a relational thing, too, because then there's, you know, as I'm saying, there's also a point where God will say, like, you know, you have these options in front of you, and I understand your heart and your mind and your work ethic. I am going to bless whatever decision you make.
Okay, go a little deeper. Like, so why? Why does he need the relationship with you? Why does he need a court case relationship with you? What's the purpose of that?
Well, to show you're serious. Only people that are really, like, in the physical, people who are the only ones that are, like, really serious and are willing to put in the work are usually the ones that show up to the cases.
Okay. So that's part of it. I think your response is good, but it's not close to being sufficient to understanding who is a righteous judge. I'm sure you know. Do you want to kind of go that direction? Or do you want me to say a little bit more? Well, one of the points that I'm wanting to bring up about Jared's answer is that this is how we're trained this is how we're discipled. So the problem, a lot of it is that we're not very mature as the body of Christ yet, which is okay, because Ephesians says, you know, that's the process we're going to this maturation process. We're equipped with the different ministries so that we can, you know, become the mature man to the full measure of the stature of our Lord Jesus. So in that process of becoming the mature man, you know, obviously there's a lot of things we don't understand. And so this is a really important point, because our righteous judge knows this. He's very understanding. And yet at the same time, there are parameters. And, you know, even in our culture, we don't necessarily like to call God's law like the law. You know, we've gotten away from that, right? It's his word. It's the scriptures. It's, you know, it's the teachings, which it is. The law and teachings are the same in Hebrew. So the law, because of how it's used in our culture and because of the, the negative connotation that has been assigned to it in the church, we have to look that we are in a battle over our beliefs. Everything is about our faith. And so it's all about getting on our side. It's all about the shield of faith and having faith and making sure that we understand what this faith is about. See, central teacher, thank you. That we are justified by faith alone, right? We're justified by faith, and that our righteousness, the righteous live by faith. So the faith is really key. You know, everything about this court of heaven is very different in terms of the way that it operates. Now, we have this system here on earth because they looked at scripture. They set up our country. They looked and studied other countries that had also fashioned after the scriptures to put together our rule of law, right? Our rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from the Word of God, the laws in the Word of God. Again, we are in warfare to have that dismantled in our understanding and our acceptance of these words. So we're going to talk a lot about these different words that may not be quite comfortable, but we have to make them comfortable again because they're really actually very good words and very awesome. So, oops, can you okay?
Which tab do you want?
No, it's your finding this. Mm-hmm.
No, this is stuff that you asked me. Okay. So I got to present, so you can present the case. What's the person that does the research? The investigator? No.
For the listener, I did get accepted to law school back in the early, I think it was 2001.
No, I didn't.
No, but my point is that it was a long time ago, and I didn't end up going because my third son was only 6 months, and I don't know what I was thinking to apply. But anyway, it was good. It was a good experience then, but I can't even think about where it is. But I actually did end up studying a lot, and I was studying it from God's perspective and wanting to do constitutional law so that we could understand, or I could understand better the rule of law and be able to affect that in our country. I'm grateful now that that's not where I ended up, going through, although the Lord was the one who led me, and I know it has significance. I mean, it does already have significance, but so back to the points, right? One of the things, distract my mind. What do you think? Distract my mind. This is a radio show. They can't see me.
I have to see it. What, you don't care about me? This is my show too, apparently. You should care about what I think and what I see. This is not discussing our case right now.
I think that the listener probably notices that I get distracted when you do something in my brain.
Well, I'm not doing anything at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
You changed what was on the
screen. I was trying to help you.
I
was trying to help you.
But now you're gonna have to reel me back in because then my brain starts compiling different information.
We were talking about terms, case terms.
Okay, and then before that, what was it?
We were giving them a summary about the cases, about what deemed significant.
Oh, okay, and the righteous.
So now, it was a wonderful time we were having. No, but here you go. Take it away. Take the computer. Because apparently, take the computer. Because apparently, when I do anything that's helpful, it's distracting.
Can you put something under here? Because it's like getting hot.
You didn't have to say anything.
Okay. That's good. So, all right, back to the idea of a righteous judge. So we have, something very different. Well, the structure, the great service of how our country's set up, and this is another point, I'm going to go off on a tangent, so you don't have to reel me back in, but this is a real important one, I believe, is that, we are so used to America, because obviously we've grown up here, there's two main problems. One is that we don't understand where we're operating in the darkness, because there is a lot of darkness, and we can't even see it. And we operate in it thinking we're in light, especially, those who, obviously think they're in light, are enlightened. But there's so much that we really don't. And that's why Jesus said, if you ever say you think you can see, you can't. And that at first, when I really couldn't see even more than I can't see now, right, it was like, what? That was
it's like the more you learn, the less you know, right?
Yes.
So the more you see, the less you can.
And so yes, exactly. The more you know, you don't know. So he says, if you ever can say you see, then you know that's the sign that you really don't see. And so.
Isn't that wonderful?
I thought I saw that, but then.
The more we open our eyes, the less we can see.
So then, the other part of it is that we also cannot see how much light that we obviously have been given, because this country was founded using so much scripture. And obviously there's a battle over how much the founders were really believers and all the rest of it. But if you do your homework, there is an amazing amount of scripture. Now, were they perfect? Did they make a ton of mistakes? As much or maybe fewer than we do. Don't really know if it really was fewer or not. But, you know, they did put a lot of attention. And, you know, I can point out a lot of flaws in myself that anyone can go ahead and just, you know, flip upside down and make it look a certain different way. Things that, you know, and things that they did that were probably absolutely wrong. The things that, or have been made wrong after the fact, and they did them, and then now it looks even worse. Not talking about slavery, but some other things. So the point is that the only one who's righteous is that righteous judge.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of us are horribly messed up, way more than we think we are messed up. And this is an important point of why we have to go before the righteous judge. Because we have to be able to present a case. Really, it's not for us. It's really against us. When we go and bring the case, we are actually recognizing the things that we're doing wrong,
mm-hmm.
as well as the things we're doing right.
Because what's interesting is when you're in that environment, you're not only are you like asking for something, but it creates an environment of accountability, because it's not just like, oh, yeah, you're not expecting a handout. It's more or less like, hey, like, I've been behaving this way, and here's the bad part. This is the sinful part, and this is what I'm working on to correct it. This is the part that I'm doing well, and I'm asking for a blessing based upon the case of both those things.
Okay.
I did a bad job of explaining that.
Okay,
but,
so make it a good job. Build a better case.
Build a better case. So you take a hammer, right?
And
you take wood. What?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then you take nails. Uh-huh. And you build a suitcase. And
an attaché, attorney's attaché case.
Yes. And then you put.
Attorney's not a good word. It's to turn.
Oh. Well, anyway. you embroider it. I'm kidding. Okay. So, in presenting your case, you both I'm still learning all this stuff. But
right.
My understanding is you talk about where everything that you're from, a place that you're coming from, both in your, well, in your sin and his righteousness. You put those two things together, and then, you know, that's your accountability to yourself, making sure that you're abiding in his work as much as you possibly can, and in grace and all that stuff. And then, you know, then you present what the desires of your heart are, and if you are abiding in him, then you will fulfill it. Or unless we're talking about a different area of cases, then I'm
You said two things that are important: word and something you just said, scripture. You didn't use the word scripture; you used something else. But those are both important. So when you're building your case, you don't want to come before him. There's that thing in Ecclesiastes, don't just go before him with all these words.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not wise, right, to just go out and not be prepared to present your case.
And I'm also learning that it's like less is more. Don't try not to, I mean, say what's on your mind, but don't say it for sake of saying it.
Right. And be, you know, purposeful, obviously. So the thing is that before this righteous judge and this courtroom, we have to go through scripture to understand what we're going to present,
mm-hmm.
and what we're looking for. I mean, that's really key. First of all, you have to know what you're going to look for. What are you wanting to have accomplished? So there's times to just pray with him, right? And times to intercede for other people and just a, you know, a needs basis. But when things are more serious and you're not seeing a response from the Father, then you start going, what's tying this up? Like, what's wrong?
And then you present the case. Right?
Well, it's a lot more, because first thing you have to go is, well, what's wrong with me? What could be blocking it in me?
What's wrong with me?
So you are sure that you're building your own case to understand what's going on.
It's like a pre-case.
Yeah, it's doing an investigation.
It's the case before the case. It's the case that decides whether or not you...
You have a case.
Exactly.
Correct. Very good.
The case for the case. Yeah. It's a suitcase for the briefcase. See what I did there?
So...
Mom likes my parables.
Oh, yes. So what we want to do is we want to be able to present to ourselves first, okay, we have to search our heart, because our hearts are deceitfully wicked, Scripture says. And the thing is that, like, regardless, I think I definitely don't want to make this sound like you have to go through all this and the only way he's going to listen to you is if you go through all these steps. Not saying that at all. I believe that he being a righteous judge, he sees where we're at and what we need to learn. He knows the seriousness of the sins that we commit, the things that we do that are wrong, or the seriousness of things that people are doing wrong against us.
Yeah.
And when we can't figure out why things aren't working out ways that we think, you know, why maybe, you know, we end up, you know, whatever it is, losing a business multiple times, losing a spouse multiple times, losing children.
Losing a spouse more than once.
Well, different spouses.
Oh.
Right?
Losing spouses, there we go.
Or are having conflict repetitively with, you know, different situations, or whatever it happens to be. When you see patterns or there's things that you're asking for and they're not getting broken through, the thing is how you know, what we need to search our hearts and find out, okay, what is happening? Is this something I'm doing wrong? Is this something that everyone else is doing wrong? Is there more? So one of the things that has to be looked at is the Scripture that talks about sin. David's talking about sin, transgression, and iniquities. And we really have to be serious about what has happened. Because, you know, when we're talking about justice, something is going wrong, right? We want justice because something is going wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we too easily blame somebody else or think that whatever's going wrong is in somebody else. But that going wrong could be right there in us. And
exactly. That's why you present the case before you have a case before you present the case. Right? So that's where you find out where you're at,
mm-hmm.
and where your position is in the case before you even go and present it.
And you can obviously,
because here's the thing,
want to ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Father, you can ask Jesus, you can ask him as judge.
Yep.
You can ask him in any of his capacities, because that's why he tells us all the things that he is, counselor, you know, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, all these different titles he has, healer, provider, right? So he wants us to see all the different roles that he has and how to come to him.
Yeah.
And actually ask for his input in those different situations. So so the pre-case, you know, the development of the case comes first, taking a look at, you know, so that we can parallel it to even Jesus coming when he said his first thing was, well, repent. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent and be baptized, right?
Yes.
And this is before his provision. This is before, you know, that there was that sacrifice and everything made. But he knew, right? And he was calling people and saying, you know, this is what needs to occur. And so he... You know, let's not get into theology there. But
I have to present a case on whether or not we're going to go into theological.
Anyways, let's just go with the repent right now, and be baptized. So his calling is, it's required that we take a look at ourselves, and repent is not necessarily the big bad word that it's really developed over my lifetime. I really saw the attack on the word sin and repent, and, you know, these, it's confess. So we want to present a case of why we need to use those words, because these are scriptural words and they're very important, they're very powerful, and they're very necessary, and they're very liberating. Well, they've been made to look condemning. That's because that's what the world wanted. You know, the devil, Satan, you know, the whole darkness, side of darkness wants those words to look condemning. But they are actually liberating, because when we identify these things, then everything changes.
Yep.
So when we go into the courtroom of heaven before our righteous judge, we want to have all the things worked out. We have to understand what could be the problem, why we're having, let's say the case has to do with a conflict we're having with somebody else. Well, we want to present, this is an important point, we aren't going against another person. That's why the scriptures are essential. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and rulers of this dark age. And so we are bringing before the righteous judge the real issue and the deliverance we want for ourselves, but for the other person. The person is subject to these principalities too, and has done some things that are in alignment with darkness. But we also have to see where we're in alignment with darkness. And this,
and that's where the case before you present the case is really key too. Especially if you know scripture, it's easier to detect where you're off base, and you're able to, I guess, take initiative on finding where you're off base. Because in creating the case before you present it, you're able to use scripture as a mirror to see, okay, this is where there's the hole. And that's why it's so important to know the word so well, so that way you're able to, you know, I guess you have you have the law, so that's why it's the scripture, or at least, yeah, that's why scripture is defined as the law sometimes, because it's able to be like, okay, this is the actual legal process, these are the actual commandments, this is what's right and this is what's wrong, this is the order, you know, it's.
And again, I'm going to be picky because law is very picky. So I don't like the word legal. I know I said that to you before, and it's just so easy for us to use in our culture because we use it. But legal is one of the world terms, the worldly terms. So we want to operate under the scriptural words, and because the more accurate we are, the clearer things will become for us. And even in presenting our case, we want to use things that are more accurate. So he does say, like, for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against there is no law. So against these things there is no law. So there is no law against these things, but there is a law, there are laws against other things, right? And we have to see. When there's laws against,
and by law he thought they're talking about scriptural law, not the world's laws.
Correct.
That there are worldly laws about against those things, and they can make those things illegal in the physical world. Or at least they can try to.
And then that's it. They can try to, but the thing is that we have to recognize what's real and what's not real, what's illusion and what's lie and what's truth. And so this is the biggest thing that we are here on earth to discern. This is the whole crux of why faith is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we believe in things that we don't see, right? Faith is the assurance of things not seen, right? Evidence of things not seen, assurance of things hoped for. And so even hope, the things that we hope for are things not seen. So we live in this world in which there are things that are not seen, period. It is that way because he's made it spiritual and he's made it, you know, physical.
And even the things that we do see, a lot of the inspiration comes from, like, stuff that we think that we see.
Well, all creativity is everything comes from something that is not. It is something already established, so it's not bara. It's not created from nothing like the Father did,
mm-hmm.
or Elohim did. But we have the creative ability too, right? We have the ability to create not create from nothing, but we create from our nothing. I mean, really, you know, we come up with things that aren't seen.
Yeah.
Right? Engineers, software engineers, you know, mechanical, everything, right? Somebody has an idea and they make it. Musicians take something that's not heard and make it heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people just aren't trained the way that our education system is, and then also even our churches are set up. We aren't trained to have, our senses are dulled to the spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And that's intentional. But he also says that he makes it so that I lost that train of thought. I looked at the time.
Well, I was actually about to make a statement about the time and be like, okay, we have, you know, in terms of what our show is, what our, you know, show limit is before we go into calls is we have 15 minutes left, and I was going to go bring it back to how do we build our case in the organized, and how do we build an organized case, you know, creator justice for proper judgment.
I know. So we've talked about this, whether to make the show less or not, and we made it so that we can go longer. And I think this topic is one that takes a rethinking. And part of the
topic, might take several episodes to actually comprehend too, because for me at least, it took me a while to digest it. It probably took me a week of my own time to be able to wrap my head around it, even though I've heard about it every so often growing up. And being like, huh?
Yeah, and the thing is like, I didn't obviously understand it to this level at all.
So,
but before, there were times that I actually operated this way, and it's really cool to look back.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is it takes scripture. Okay, so mm-hmm. I'll make it something that.
So walk us through the scriptures, and how does, so I guess this episode then, or at least the most remaining minutes of this episode, how does somebody who doesn't have the knowledge, what's the starting place for them to be able to, you know, at least package their case and start and, you know, maybe start presenting it before
the courts.
Before the courts, yeah.
First of all, we have to understand the biggest thing that we have to understand is, first of all, this kingdom of heaven that we are bringing from heaven to earth based upon our relationship and what he's doing. It's he's doing it, we're doing it. This whole thing helps us to see both. The idea is that we come into his presence because of him. We come before the righteous judge because of him, because of what he's done, right? By his blood, we have any standing.
Yeah.
And so the purpose of us coming before him is because we have come to understand how much we love him and how much we want to operate for his name's sake and for his glory. That we come before heaven's court for his sake. When we remind him, it's for his sake. Well, it's not like we're reminding him, but we're letting him know, basically, that we know that this is our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that we come before his courts in agreement with him. So the whole thing, the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness, or the kingdom of light, right, if we want to use the contrasting words, is that in the kingdom of light, we have everything in agreement with the Father. Everything, we agree with him in everything. And in the kingdom of darkness, we are disagreeing with him. We don't believe him. We believe things that aren't necessarily true. They may even seem like light, or they might even seem true, but they aren't. And so we're in darkness. So what it is stepping into the courts of heaven, we are saying, we're here because you're the righteous judge, and we count on you for righteous ruling for your name's sake, and we know you're faithful. And this is what we are acknowledging, that you know you came to set us free, and you want us free. So we are going to present our case and explain to you you know, that we are here because we can see our purpose is getting interrupted. The things that we know that you've called us to do, because he says, you know, his will is that if we ask anything in his name, that there's an accord, if we ask anything that's in accordance with his will, he'll have that done.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to identify, our case is all about identifying what is his will, what is his will for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, to rejoice, always pray without it, ceasing, ceasing and everything, give thanks.
Amen.
So this is his will for us in Christ Jesus, right? So, and there are other scriptures about his will. So we have to really understand that, you know, that that's really.
Well, first, so you're saying the first step is no being able to discern that you're in his will in the first place.
No, not necessarily. Because the thing is about justice. See, the difference between justice and punishment is that we do things that are wrong. And if justice was only punitive, where people are punished for what they do wrong, then that's all it would be. There would be no opportunity for mercy or grace or forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the idea that justice requires forgiveness, he's created something amazing. But we have to understand it. We have to comprehend it. And we have to hunger and thirst and want it so much that we can comprehend it. Because in this kingdom of heaven, in this realm of light, we operate fully on forgiveness. So in the Lord's Prayer where he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, provision is so important. And he's saying, this is so important on my side.
Yeah.
Our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our
debts,
as we forgive those who
trespass
against us. So in this kingdom of heaven, and his will be done, is everything about forgiveness. We operate fully in forgiveness. But in that full forgiveness also is a full repentance. And to me, repentance only means you do it and you find out it was wrong, you redo it.
Mm-hmm.
You find out, well, that wasn't quite right, you redo it.
Yeah.
But your heart is to redo, to do it right, right? And to forgive others around us, because we can't, if we're going to operate in the kingdom of light, we have to have pure and clean hearts. And so that's where I was starting with the idea that people have to understand their sin, transgression, iniquity, sins being motive-driven, you know, things that are missing the mark, things that are just, you know, that intent, like we talked about last week, the intent being misplaced would be sin. You know, we have to be able to check that and change that. The transgressions are the things that we do that are, you know, stepping outside the boundaries. We're transgressing somebody else's properties. We're doing things that are outside the law. And so it's in darkness. So we transgress light and go into darkness. And then iniquity are the things that have been there for years within our family,
mm-hmm.
our family lines, and they become then familiar sins that we have trouble even seeing. And attached to them are curses.
Yeah.
Curses for these sins that haven't been repented from or forgiven. And so that's why it's, you know.
How do you summarize this into step one?
Well, I don't think that's really possible to just do that, but
okay, step two.
Well, step two. Step one would really be identifying what, you know, sins, transgressions, things that are you're not forgiving, things that you are not willing to change even.
Well, these are the things on your side of the equation that you were having to take care of before you presented.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing is we have a lot of cases, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we haven't been dealing with things.
Yes.
If we're not really looking at the things that we're doing wrong or how we need to forgive or where we're bitter or where we're hurt or where we're doing something wrong every single day, if we're not cleaning everything every day, which is a lot of work.
Step one is having the mindset of sifting through your own cases and knowing which ones are the ones that you need to take initiative. And you need to be disciplined
to create
justice for them.
But you're not creating it. But you're
no.
You
but
want
but it's you. It's you. It's you. It's your initiative, and you're taking it. You're not necessarily like you're laying it before God, but you're not saying you're not taking that case and being like, okay, God, this is a case and I'm weighing it all the way around. Like it's you wrestling with the Holy Spirit and more or less discerning.
Well, hopefully not you wrestling with him.
Okay, I'm talking about the case, not the Holy Spirit. You're not wrestling the Holy Spirit. You are with the Holy Spirit,
okay, good.
Discerning the case before you take it before the Father. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So first you're taking it to the Holy Spirit, because that is the gift that God has given us, is we have access to the Holy Spirit. And
he intercedes on our behalf. I mean, he actually, that's a courtroom term, right?
And then once that is done, then we got step one. Step two is where you actually, after you figured out, okay, this is a case that I need to bring before the Father, and you have the Holy Spirit interceding on your behalf.
Before the righteous judge.
Before the righteous judge.
You can bring cases to the Father.
Well, you can, but
it's a different.
Jesus is the righteous judge then?
Yes. Well, yes.
Okay. So then it's Jesus then. So then you're taking it before Jesus, the righteous judge. What's that step look like?
Well, okay. It's not necessarily.
Talk about it next week. See you
next
week.
Oh, no.
I mean, we do have 4 minutes if we want to be punctual at times, but we can go a little over.
Well, what I would like to explain, because, like, I know that, no, anyways, let's just say.
Okay, focused. Step two.
No, hold on. Let me back up. I love how you're doing this. I love this new drive.
It's discipline.
That's excellent.
It's me being parallel to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, good.
So,
okay,
get
so
your act together. Step up your game. Step up your game.
All right. So
wasting time. Stop laughing.
Well, actually, a really important point is that when you come into his presence, you come into it with joy. You come into it with thanksgiving and praise. This is so different than how we look at the solemnness of the court settings that we have here.
You're excited to present a case. You're like, hey!
Exactly, because you're going before a righteous judge, and you already have all the scriptures.
You already have a victory. That's where the victory is. That's what Jesus died for, so you can have victory in the courtroom instead of having to have a sacrifice.
Absolutely.
So that's why the veil.
He is
that is why the veil is torn, was because the Holy of Holies
now
is now accessible to everybody.
Yes.
That's what the whole purpose of the Holy of Holies was in the first place, is so people could, like, that's what the death of the Lamb was for, is so that way you could have your case presented before God. And it had to be represented by a priest too, right?
Well, okay,
I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, no.
I'm turning the key. I'm trying to figure out which way to turn the key. Anyway. Well, we'll save that for next week, part two.
Or actually farther, that's a little bit farther down the road. But it's really good, because it's like this. We all need to be really wanting. See, now this brings to life all the reasons why you have to understand Scripture. And when you start reading it, you're like, oh, this is really cool. This is really amazing. This is really cool. And that's how it should be. And when there's truth, then everything's exciting. But when there's darkness, it makes no sense. And that's part of even the defining features of darkness versus light. When it's dark, it's just like, oh, my goodness, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But then we should feel very comfortable then. It's like, okay, now I better get out of this darkness and into the light. And so then the other side is in the light. It's like it's exciting. You want to learn more. This is the kingdom of heaven. You want to know wisdom. You want to be instructed. You want to have, you know, understanding. You want to perceive. You know, the words of understanding. This is out of Proverbs. If you just read through Proverbs, you will get so many clues as to how to win your case.
Yeah.
So, where you're losing, which is okay. The idea of losing isn't the same as the world losing. Where we're messing up is important. Where we miss the mark. Where we sin. He says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. There's that judicial term.
Sure.
And just. To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is what he wants to do. And so I think on then certain levels, we do this, present a case to the Father, and it's a lot less formal, and that's great and really important, because but the depth of, I mean, you can spend probably hours going through where you need to confess sins.
Mm-hmm.
And the confessions got a bad rap too, by having to go and talk to somebody else, and then even being able to buy off your sins, which were not, he's already paid for those sins. But the thing is the idea of faith, we always operate in faith. we either operate in faith in the darkness or we operate in faith in the light.
Yep.
And we have to be able to discern how to operate out of the correct faith, you know, in God himself, that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the more that you understand scripture, the more, so the word we hide into our hearts, but we don't sin against God,
yeah,
really sinning against ourselves also. And so what we want to do is know as much of the word as we can. And like I said, it's like we don't really want to build cases against people. And I guess I shouldn't have even said against ourselves. It's not against us.
It's against
sin. It's against, the case is actually against the enemy who accuses us of not being under the blood and of continuing to sin and live in darkness. And I'm not even positive how much of it's actually that the enemy now continues to accuse us in heaven like he did with Job. I'm studying to understand, and I right now my you know, I'm leaning towards the idea that since he, well, maybe I shouldn't get there. We should go through some of that more.
Next week?
Well, maybe after a few, because it'd be a lot of understanding to understand Revelation and to understand what happened. Old Testament, how many things have changed now that Jesus, you know, really proclaimed the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right?
Yeah.
So we're operating in a predicted, right, a prophesied, predetermined way after Jesus, who was now the atonement, that blood lamb sacrifice that was there before in a different form that was had to be done for the law to be fulfilled every year, and was to lay it out to show people how serious it is. It's still just as serious. Our sin is still just as serious. And this is part of the big problem that's missing within our discipleship, is that we are not in tune enough with the need to have ourselves completely set free from all of these sins. That's why we see so many problems still within the church as well as outside. It's because, and maybe we have fewer in some sense, we have more victories in some senses, but the thing is that we really have to get at the bottom line of where what's going messed up and what why there's repeating patterns, and that's part of bringing the case, is like,
yeah,
saying, okay.
Like, hey, I have this. This is repeating. See, that can be even a reason why you're like, hey, this needs to change.
Right. And discerning with the Holy Spirit which things to bring first.
Yeah.
And I believe that there's so much grace in his courtroom. It's not like the first couple times or the first who knows how many times or the whole time. You know, it's not like he's like, you got to do this all right. But, you know, he does look at the motives.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does want to help us, help guide us to make the right, have the right heart. And I think an important part of going before the righteous judge is saying, what is it that I need to do so that I can ask whatever I wish and it shall be done for me, that I can leave this courtroom with what I wish, because he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it shall be done. So there's requirement on our end, but he's already done it all. And it's us coming by faith to understand and agree with everything that he said in his word, that by his stripes we're healed. What does that mean? And that he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. I believe some of this we can go to the Father, we can go to the Holy Spirit, we can go to Jesus as counselor, wonderful counselor. We ask these questions. The Holy Spirit is counselor. We are a guide, you know, as comforter, as we go through to work all these things out. And then we will get more specific in these times, the next time. So it's just presenting so that you can do some studies online. You can listen to like Robert Henderson, and you can look at some different people who have also, you know, taken this and put it in their own words and organized it. And the thing is that, you know, we need to understand scripture. Like the things that I'm listening to, I love what they're saying, because it's brought so much insight. And then there's some things that I feel are maybe a little off. But the thing is that we're all trying to understand and discern God's word. We're coming from a different perspective. We're just trying to understand the light. So what I would say for people, as you continue to look through it, you really want to know scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you don't know, you know, a whole lot of scripture and you're listening to people, you do have to look it up yourself and pray through it, because some of it might be a little bit off, like, you know, there's some important things that I think we're a little bit off, but I think it's important that we keep pressing in to hear. The whole thing is hearing from the righteous judge.
Yep.
So, and our high priest, we'll get to that at some point, and the organization and how organized heaven is, the kingdom of heaven. So, but for this week, the take home is to understand that you are building a case based upon the testimonies of your life, the word they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimonies, and that they didn't regard their life unto death.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that these are all clues on what is honorable. And so you come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise and the joy of the Lord. It may not be like, may or may not be, because you may not be certain how to feel or how this is. But the thing is that he is righteous, and we can take joy in that. We can take joy that we're coming before the righteous judge by the blood of the Lamb and for his namesake. And then for the purposes that he's called us to since before the foundations of this earth. So we come before him with these things in mind, the truth in mind. You bring before him any truth you want to say from your heart, that you love him, that you're so grateful for what he's done, that you can even stand in his courts, and to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I believe that has something to do with really understanding the gravity of the nature of our sins that would be judged had we not had the blood, and that we really do have to bring it before him and have them forgiven. He's faithful and just to forgive us, so and cleanse us. And so, pray through these things this week. You can bring it either before the court of heaven as Jesus' righteous judge, or you can bring it as a case before the Father. And then also, because I think we're a lot more, used to and comfortable with speaking with him as Father, or even just Jesus as friend, right? Or Savior, or Lord. But we want to take on, the relationship to our Almighty God in all of his roles.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of hosts, every role that he has. So this week, be coming to understand how to, discern, like Jared said, which things are repeating and which things you want to take care of in the Holy Spirit that might be more serious. And then we'll continue to, move this forward. Please feel free next week to call in. If you have any questions, we can make this into a better discussion.
And that's why we have time for it to be 90 minutes long, if people want to talk about their ideas. That's the purpose of it, of us listing it for 90 minutes. We should include that in the description in the future so people will understand why
you say 90 minutes when it's only 45.
Right. So we're going to be making the program shorter and then...
therefore better, more concise and straight to the point.
I have a lot more to say. No, I'm kidding. No, I feel really good about this. Really appreciate everyone.
Yes. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week. I guess we'll be Winning Your Case in Heaven's Court Part 2 then, because this is going to be something that we kind of dive deeper on.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back 6 p.m. MST, PST, AZT, right here on Your Battle to Win. See you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in.